This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm David Green. Good morning. Today, in your health, how texting can help smokers quit. We'll have that in a moment. First, how social media might play a role in helping people with chronic diseases. A decade ago, it wasn't that easy for people suffering with disease to connect with one another and share stories of coping. Now there are dozens of online networks, and few are as established as the online community of people living with diabetes. As NPR's Lauren Silverman reports, this has big drug companies taking notice.
When Carrie Sparling was 7 years old, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Her family didn't know anyone with the disease, so they sent her to diabetes camp.
And that was where every single camper had type 1 diabetes. So that was my first sense of not only other people who had diabetes, but a true community.
Things are very different today. About 26 million Americans have diabetes, mostly type 2. And the CDC predicts as many as one-third of adults could have the disease by 2050. So there's no need to go to camp to connect with people living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes. All you have to do is go online.
Now when you put diabetes into Google, you find real people living real lives with type 1 diabetes. That's an incredible journey.
Sparling chronicles her own journey on a blog she started in 2005. Other people in the DOC, that's the diabetes online community, share on YouTube.
I'm going to tell you what diabetes type 1 is all about.
This is about 8 months worth of needles.
I take injections a billion times a day.
There are videos with advice on everything from removing your insulin pump to telling your date you have diabetes. There are also reviews of products to treat diabetes.
We're going to be focusing on the gear you use to keep your diabetes in check.
The MiniMed versus the Omnipod insulin pumps.
A few years ago, drug companies started paying attention to these video testimonials and to bloggers talking about their products. The companies even created their own social media sites.
Our primary platform is our blog, Discuss Diabetes.
That's Dennis Urbaniak. He's the head of diabetes at drug giant Sanofi US.
We also have a Twitter account,
a Facebook page, a diabetes dictionary, and they're looking into Pinterest and Instagram.
Getting involved in social media is a critical component of serving the diabetes community.
And it's not just serving the community. It's serving companies' bottom lines. Treating diabetes is extremely profitable. Every year, Americans spend over $100 billion on diabetes care. So in addition to tweeting about new products, pharmaceuticals are sponsoring bloggers like Carrie Sparling.
If we're talking about what we want from our devices, it's in their best interest to be hearing that and making the changes that we're requesting so that they can improve their sales.
Sparling has a disclosure on her website stating she receives free products from two drug companies, and one pays her to speak at events and contribute to its website. But critics say that's not enough.
People do not read the disclosures. The FDA and the FTC need to create a whole new system for disclosing when a blogger or group gets paid by pharmaceutical companies.
Jeff Chester runs the Center for Digital Democracy. He says pharmaceutical companies are using social media to promote their gadgets and drugs in a deceptive way.
Because you might find on a pharmaceutical website a series of videos that have been tested, by the way, to make sure that they really deliver the message. And these messages appear to be maybe people like you, even though sometimes, in fact, they are paid or allied with the drug company.
An FDA spokesperson says the agency is currently working on guidelines for drug companies and social media, but declined to make someone available for an interview. Dennis Urbaniak of Sanofi hopes new guidelines won't interfere with his company's online dialogue. He says tweets and Facebook comments help his company connect with people in the diabetes community and come up with ideas for ads.
In the past, a lot of the ads would always show the perfect blood sugar number. And the community says, you know, that's a little bit insulting because it implies that it's just simple to always get this. Show a number that's high or a number that's low. Make it real. And so this is the kind of feedback that's been really helpful.
But the question is, what are patients getting out of social media?
There's no proof in diabetes that social networking is helpful.
Jason Bronner is a doctor at the University of California, San Diego Medical Center. He's leading a study that will help determine whether social networking can actually help patients manage diabetes.
We know that a lot of patients are on the internet, and patients are probably more likely to get information from the internet than they are from the doctor.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Bronner refers patients to trusted websites and asks them what they're reading online.
As a doctor, basically what you want to do is you want to make sure the patient is relying on an accurate source of information. And if you don't know that they're on these websites, you're not going to know that they have a chance of getting misinformation.
Blogger Carrie Sparling isn't worried. She says the diabetes online community can tell when something's fishy.
If we see someone swooping in with their chocolate shake that cures type 1 diabetes, there's going to be a voice raised saying, wait, 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 that's not true, or don't come in and spam our community. Like, we protect ourselves in that way.
She says most people in the diabetes community want big pharma to pay attention to them. Now that they are, the challenge is making sure the relationship benefits people with diabetes and not just the drug companies. Lauren Silverman, NPR News.